This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Startups, governments, and 90% of Fortune 500 companies are running on Microsoft Cloud. Join them and find new ways to achieve more. Stay productive with familiar tools, develop and deploy where you want with a consistent hybrid environment, and build engaging apps with intelligent features. Bring your ideas to life faster, push them further, and scale them worldwide. Start your free account at azure.com/trial. That's azure.com/trial. My name is Charlie Hall.
My name is Dave Tack.
My name is Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control.
Dave and Justin, thank you guys for joining me today for a very special episode of Quality Control. Justin, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm thrilled to be back here, taking back my show in the permanent hosting, week in, week out. I'm so excited to start just chipping away, grinding out those episodes of Quality Control. Y'all have done a great job in my absence, but I'm ready to take back the throne and crank this puppy out.
Well, I am. How do I put this, Justin? I got good news. I got bad news. The good news is
we know the good news, Charlie. We know the good news. I'm here.
Monster Factory's back. You and Griffin are on the YouTube channels. You guys have a new website in partnership with Vox Media. All this great stuff is going on. But we are going to be putting Quality Control on a bit of a hiatus, and we're not going to be publishing our episodes here quite as often as we have in the past. Dave?
I agree with you. Quality Control is not dead, but it is changing.
It is.
You know, we wanted to have Justin back here to sort of mark the end of what I'm officially calling right now Quality Control 1.0. 1.5, if you count Justin and us taking over from Justin, but like we're going to evolve again. And I think, you know, the upshot of that is, frankly, it's not going to be an every week show. We'll still be around. We'll still have some episodes for big things. And we'll talk about that more later. But, we're changing, and we thought, what would be cooler than having Justin back on and sort of talking about Quality Control and how it's been and evolved and, you know, how it started and how it's not ending, but changing again.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here, and it's sad to hear that, but I think y'all have done fantastic work in my stead. Listen to every episode that y'all have done, and it's been just fantastic. It's been a real thrill to, not to get too schmaltzy, but it, when you make something, the idea that it continues even after you leave a gig is very cool. Is it less cool that it ended some months later? Yes, of course. Would I have liked to go on for years and years? Obviously. But it is very exciting that you all have done such fantastic work.
And just a little bit of data about that. The show, Justin, the show, I believe, began in, was it 2015?
Yeah, I believe that is right. The first episode, I think, was Shadow of Mordor.
If
I remember correctly, with one Phil Kohler. That was our first episode.
But since then, we've had, this will be our 192nd episode, and close to 3 million downloads all time from our listeners. We can't thank our listeners enough, really. It's been such a joy to get the feedback from y'all and to bring you guys the program that we've brought you for these many years.
2014, but just actually. I'm sorry.
Oh, 24, my gosh.
October 1st.
It felt older than
2014.
That.
2014. Yeah, it's an old show. Yeah.
But Justin, we wanted to get you on, really, to talk about, you know, the original concept and the original inception of Quality Control. Take us back to, you know, this show that you created and why and what it was supposed to be.
Halcyon days. When you work at a video game website that reviews video games. One of the best, like, most fun conversations that you get to have is talking to someone who is reviewing a game and sort of hearing the scoop, you know, the skinny. If you're not the first person to play it, it is really exciting to talk to the person who's the first one to play it and get their sort of like unvarnished, here's what I think, you know. And a lot of times you get that as the review is evolving. You know, the reviews are a much more thoughtful, I think, measured and often a little bit more polished than what you get just talking to that person, getting their first thoughts. And for me,
right, every time I've ever written a review, I've had like 1,000 points for every point I made in the review. What you know what I mean? And not that those points were bad, but they just didn't belong there.
Yeah, and I loved those conversations. And for me, it was a way to sort of bring that conversation into a podcast. And so that's part of it. And partially, I think that the reviewing of games is something that, like, I mean, my first job that was an actual permanent position was as the first reviews editor at Joystick. Like, I got the review program going there. We had not done that up until that point. And it's something that I love and I find fascinating. And I think that the story behind a review is a lot more interesting, I think, than even, you know, if you're talking about a movie, there's not much story there. I went and watched the movie, you know, but with a game, there's always this sort of like ebb and flow where you're, you know, how do I feel about this? Is this maybe, there's a great moment in any, that I used to love to talk about when you're reviewing a bad video game. There's a great moment that happens every time when you have the realization where you're like, oh, wait a minute, this is a bad video game. And oh my God, I'm going to play all of this bad video game. Sometimes it comes very early. Sometimes it's like 4 or 5 hours in. And you're like, and it's dreadful. And I love it. And so it's so fantastic. I love hearing about those moments where you're like, oh my God, I'm stuck reviewing a bad game. And I think that context is really interesting for people who really care about games.
What was so very enjoyable for me, though, in the early days and in kind of the middle period of quality control was this concept of, you know, games as a service and games evolving over time. It was something that Polygon really pioneered with our reviews program, where we would constantly be updating those reviews and you know, helping our audience understand how a game was growing and being tended to by its developers. And Polygon's quality control really became a place to have those kinds of, you know, after the fact ongoing conversations about how, what it was like to live with and in a game over time. There really wasn't a place anywhere else to get that kind of information in a podcast.
You mentioned regrets of mine, Charlie. Thank you for bringing that up. I think my number one regret was calling it quality control, because friends, if you're going to call a show quality control, you better never have an error in an episode. You better never have bad audio or bad editing, because Hachimachi, it's right there waiting for people to walk through the door of, boy, you know, this show could use is a little quality control.
Oh, man. And the technical challenges that we've encountered over the years doing this whole thing, it's really remarkable. Usually, as of course you know, Justin, when you're doing a regular weekly podcast, generally it's with the same people.
Yep.
And that is never the case with quality control. It is always someone new, so it is always a new hurdle of technical challenges and audio challenges. I really appreciate the work that Dave has put in this last year or two to really raise the level of our audio quality. Dave, it's been remarkable what you've done to the sound of the show.
Thanks. I you know, I don't want to brag about any of that stuff, and I can immediately picture all of the people listening who hate how quality control sounds, but I definitely am an audio nerd, and I definitely like getting nerdy with shows and, you know, figuring out the best way to, you know, a lot of this is going to be inside baseball, so I don't want to apologize every time I say something inside baseball, but like, imagine that you have somebody who has reviewed a game and owns a decent microphone, and they're recording in their, you know, sparse office in their house, and there's just the sound of everything they say echoing and bouncing around, and like, that's not what I've always wanted out of a podcast, is to to the best of my ability, to never let anybody know or be able to understand that what they're hearing came from anywhere but like a studio, right? And like that's my goal. And I get there sometimes, and sometimes it's just there is no amount of magic I have to be able to create that illusion. But it is that like a deeply nerdy but always fun part of my week to dig in and sort of, oh, there's a hum on this track and I can remove that and nobody will ever know, but I'll always be proud of that kind of thing.
You know, you mentioned the technical hurdles with having new people on every time, and that is absolutely was a headache. But it also touches on one of my favorite things about the show. One of the reasons, the other reasons I wanted to do it is we have gotten so many, I guess if we're talking in totality, we've gotten so many different voices on this show. You know, a lot of people,
yeah,
their first podcast experience was going on quality control, because it was whoever, you know, it was up to whoever had the review. So that I really like that about it. I got to talk to a ton of people on staff, people who didn't work for us, all over. So it was really cool.
And it goes back to what you were saying earlier too, Justin, where like at the point at which we talk to somebody about a game, I say this when I talk to people who are doing guides for me, is that basically they're at a certain point, you having played a game that isn't out yet, you become one of the world's foremost experts on that game. You know things that other people don't. You have insights that other people don't. Yeah. And sort of working them out, writing a review is one way of doing it. But then quality of control is and has always been something like the director's commentary for the review that you write, where you get to talk about the things that obviously are in the review, but also, as I alluded to earlier, some things that just couldn't make the cut. And then you bounce that off of a host or hosts, and that invariably, even for crappy games, creates an interesting conversation. I think that's why, to my mind, why quality control has always worked, right? Because it's a conversation between somebody who knows stuff and somebody who's curious about it, and you just sort of work it out on the air.
One of the things that I've been really proud to be able to do with quality control over the years, though, is it has been able to grow, I think, with the scope and the mission that Polygon has grown into, which is now to cover entertainment and culture and comics and movies and TV. We're so much more than just a video game website these days, and I think that that's been really well reflected in the content that we've put out in quality control. Dave, I look forward to the next Star Wars movie in part because we get to come on here to quality control and break it apart and really indulge in a couple hour long episodes. And the same with the work that you've done for the Marvel movies as well. And I want to let all our listeners know that that kind of stuff is going to be coming back to the quality control feed. So there's no reason to drop that off your Overcast, your iTunes podcast subscription or anything. We're not going away. It really is a hiatus.
Well, sort of a reframing of what quality control is and how often we do it. And interestingly enough, you know, I think, oh God, I'm going to want to apologize every time I talk inside baseball here. I don't want to be self-indulgent, but please don't ignore everything before the but. The truth is, like, we've been around as Polygon since 2012, and like the way that that not just video games, but the Polygon has evolved in that time is anything I could have possibly predicted back when we were starting. Right?
You, no.
Charlie, you mentioned games as a service, but you also mentioned what have been our consistently most popular episodes of this, of what began as a video game review podcast, which is the entertainment stuff, right? Getting the band back together and talking about Star Wars or Infinity War, or even not like one of my favorite episodes of this year, if not my absolute favorite episode of this year, was the one we did on Fortnite, which essentially got a group of people together to try and explain and understand how Fortnite became the world's biggest game. And like, that was not that wouldn't have fallen necessarily inside of the strict, we're talking to, we're doing a director's commentary for reviews podcast, but it made sense, I think, in the larger conversation. And those were good. I'm happy with how they came out, and they were well received. So, you know, it's been a sort of evolution that I think I've been happy with and been proud to be a part of, too. And it also makes sense, to be perfectly clear, that, like, our efforts in quality control focus around those sorts of things as we move into the future.
You know, I would be remiss, Justin, though, if I didn't try and poke your brain a little bit about kind of what you've been playing lately, man.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It's been a while since we chatted, you and I, and all of a sudden I'm seeing you show up on my PlayStation friends list playing some games and things.
Play a few games. I've been trying to catch up for the Besties annual episode that we promised each other, like a tontine, you know, that we continue to do. I think that's the word. That's the word. Yeah, it's been a weirdly like busy end of the year, eh? Like some club bangers have come out in December, which is never the thing. Yeah. I have really been enjoying Hades, the new one from Supergiant. It's given me kind of a Dead Cells-y sort of vibe. It looks very different and is different in a lot of ways, but is extremely, extremely enjoyable. Have y'all played Hades?
Not a bit. No, tell me about this.
Yeah. So it's you are the son of Hades and you're trying to escape the underworld. And so it's a roguelike in the sense that we tend to use roguelikes now, where it used to be very much about a lack of progress, but this is definitely one where like you are making progress. It is top, well, it's isometric, very sort of fluid combat with a lot of different options. You've got a bevy of weapons. You choose one weapon to take in with you on each run. And so there's a bow and there's a shield that can do like a dash, and you can throw like Captain America, which is very fun. But as you play through your run, you encounter sort of beacons from gods of Olympus who are rooting for you, Hermes and Zeus and what have you. And they bestow upon you blessings where usually you'll choose, you know, so you choose like if you meet Zeus, then he will give your attacks lightning, or give your magic spells lightning, or give your special attack where you throw your shield lightning, or what have you. And that sort of really shapes the way the rest of your run is gonna go. And while you are headed through the run, you're also collecting sort of, you know, insert name of currency here, purple junk that you can use to upgrade your abilities and upgrade your powers. And you get keys that can unlock new weapons to play with and new skills. But there's also a sort of the super giantness of it is that each time when you return to the underworld after getting killed, there's a group of people who are still there. Like Hades is right there. Your dad is not in any way approving of your journey through to try to escape the underworld. So he's like, your dad trolls you every single time. Like, oh, you're back. Huh? How's it going? Pretty bad, it seems. And Cerberus is basically your dog that you left your dad to watch. So you can like go talk to Cerberus and you can find gifts in the underworld that you can give to those people back there, and they'll give you like keepsakes that you can take in, and they'll give you a bump in your abilities or what have you. It's very fun, very fluid. It's early access, so there's only like I think 4, maybe 5 weapons right now that you can play with. There's a spear and a shield and the bow and a sword, and you can so there's still like a lot of room to sort of grow, but it's really cool and really, really fun and addictive. You just want to start a new run as soon as one ends. So I've really been enjoying it.
This is the one that had the surprise announcement and launch, right?
Mm-hmm. At the Game Awards, yeah.
So it's on PC now?
I have been playing it on PC. I think it is only on PC through the Epic Store. Yeah.
Game Store. Yeah. Okay.
Play a little Just Cause 4, too. Did you guys play Just Cause 4?
No. How is it?
Did you play Just Cause 3?
Yeah.
Did you play Just Cause 2?
That's the best one.
Okay. Well, you are... You know what you're in for with this one. you've... It is like... it's weird. I always felt as a series it's at odds with itself. You know, it's got these insane mechanics and not a lot to do with them. I think the big evolutions in 4 are, for me, there's two things. One, you've still got the sort of like use your grappling hook to fly up in the air and then hit the parachute to keep floating and then use your wingsuit to get extra distance. Mm-hmm. Your wingsuit now has rockets on it, so you can just sort of like jetpack around. Like, and it also shoots like missiles out of it. Great. Sure. Why not? Sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he's hiding those, but fine. So that's very cool and fun. The other big thing is the grappling hook now has like discrete loadouts, which are comprised of, there's like balloons that you can get to lift things. There are boosters, which provide, you know, thrust. And there's a retractor that'll pull two things together. So you can customize a loadout that, like, if I hit something with my grappling hook and attach it to something else, it'll pull them together. But then if I press up, then it'll fire boosters and shoot it in the sky. And then if I hold up, then it'll trigger balloons that will lift it in the sky. And then as you play through, you unlock new upgrades for those. So, like, you can make your balloons explosive, or you can make it so your boosters will fire horizontally. So you can throw, like, 10 of those on a car and do nothing except explode, basically. I did have one where I'm like, I'm gonna hit this ramp with my thing. And that basically just, my car started spinning wildly like a cheap firework purchased on the 4th of July, spinning around and then eventually exploding and killing me. But the mission stuff is just like, y'all had to put a game in there, I guess. I feel like one of these days they're going to figure out a way to capitalize on those wild mechanics that make sense with the game. But this is not that time.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I've so much enjoyed what you and the other McElroy brothers have been doing since you guys parted ways with Polygon. Tell me more about some of the stuff that you're doing with Vox, though.
We just launched the McElroy family, which is McElroy.family. It is a site that we made sort of in partnership with Vox, and it is sort of finally like a website where we can put all of our junk that my family makes. We got links to like buy stuff and our books and our different video series that we make and our different podcasts that we make and all that good stuff. One of those video series, of course, being Monster Factory, which is part of this partnership that we're bringing back Monster Factory and putting it on both our YouTube channel and the Polygon YouTube channel for a while, because we wanted people to be able to find it. But Monster Factory's back, so that's been fun. If you've never checked out that series, there's never been a better time. But we made this website that looks really cool, and because it's powered by Chorus. I'll just let them edit in whatever they want to. But it's very good. It's good. It's a fun website and was a fun thing to make. But that's McElroy.family. And you can find all the stuff my family makes there, which is just fun.
That's awesome. You know, Dave, I just wanted to also thank you for kind of being my partner here these last couple of months as we kind of ride this thing out. It's been really great to be able to share the responsibilities of this podcast with you, and like I was saying before, your editing and your audio skills are absolutely phenomenal. Have been such a great asset. So it's been a pleasure, buddy.
Well, thank you. It's the easiest thing in the world. I mean, that's what's I worked in many places, ad agency, retail, bank for many years before I started at Polygon, and it has improbably been like 6.5 years since everybody took a chance on me here. And the thing I never, ever, ever lose sight of is how much better Polygon runs than any place I've ever been. And that is both because of the people who are in charge at Polygon, but also because of the people who work at Polygon. Like, we're friends, right? And I think that comes across in, you know, hopping into the middle of a podcast that other people have done for years, and then it just going smoothly and being easy to transition into, and I didn't feel weird, and nobody to the best of my knowledge, complained, or at least loudly complained at us or me about being around. And it's just an easy working relationship. And I think sort of the best thing about podcasts, which is that you get to know the people, even if you don't know them, you know, personally, you get to know the voices and their personality. And it's something I've done in my life for many, many years. And it's been sort of amazing to be part of that, I think, in some small part for other people, right? And it's been great and easy to work with you too, Charlie. And I thank you for that.
Amen. One final thing, though, Justin, you mentioned taking a chance, Dave. Justin, thank you for taking a chance on me 6 years ago. You were one of the first folks that I talked to in the interview process here at Polygon, and you kind of plucked me out of the stream of applications that we got in here and helped me make this massive, life-changing transition into this new line of work. And I can't thank you enough for that opportunity, buddy.
Both of you all are still some of the best things I've ever done. Proudest accomplishments in game journalism. For me, when I look back, I don't think about the great stories, because I didn't write a lot of them because I'm not a very good journalist. But I don't think about that stuff. I think about like the people that I helped to bring into the field, and I think that the field is infinitely better for both of your presence.
Thank you. I agree.
And thanks more than anything to you at home for listening today. Mm-hmm. Until we've got another game to talk about, another movie to talk about, really anything at all. This is Charlie Hall for Dave Tack and Justin McElroy. Thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
That's the saddest ending of a Quality Control ever.
That's nice. That's how you do it. That's how you podcast.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Keeping up with your competition is important. Taking the lead with unmatched innovation, that's impressive. And that's what's possible when you build your next generation of smart apps on Microsoft Azure. Clear the way for unparalleled productivity with end-to-end development and management tools. Integrate cloud capabilities across your environment with the only consistent hybrid cloud. Discover transformative insights through artificial intelligence and real-time data, and scale across more global regions than you'll get from any other cloud provider. Because every business and every organization, small and large, old and new, has something to gain by reaching beyond the limits of an on-premises data center. What will you achieve when you come to the cloud? Get started with a free account and 12 months of the popular services at azure.com/trial. That's azure.com/trial. AZURE. That was a good one. Is there anything we missed, fellas, that you want to throw back in there?
Nothing.
Awesome.